Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us, Lord. We just stand before you, God, as a needy people. There's so much that we need from you, Lord. Our need, Father God, in our own minds, we can't comprehend how big it is, Lord. But Father, this morning, we need to hear from you, Father God. We need this service, Father God, not to be some religious exercise that we walk through. We go home and we go about our lives. But Father, we need something here that will change us. The power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to move in this place, to move in our lives in such a way, Lord God, that we'll hear what you're saying to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you would, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We'll get to it here just in a moment, but I want to give a couple of opening remarks, and then we're going to jump into the Word. I'm 54 years old. I was born in 1961, kind of the beginning of the real big hippie revolution. I've lived through a lot of things in the 54 years that I've lived, but I will tell you this. I am hearing and seeing things that are transpiring in America today that I will be honest, I never believed it could happen. Now, you have to understand, I'm not picking on anybody because I love people. I love all kinds of people. I love people who are saved and I love people who are unsaved. This isn't about people. It's about the things people are doing right now. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I never believed I would see it happen in the United States of America, such as legalizing gay marriage. Selling baby body parts. They're doing that now. After they've been aborted, they tear them from piece to piece and they sell their body. People given the legal right. Now think about this. I don't believe this is encroached to where we live at yet, but I will tell you it's on its way. People given the legal right to use whichever bathroom that they choose based on their sexual orientation rather than their anatomy. Are y'all with me? In other words, if I'm a guy and I just feel like I'm a woman, I can just go in the women's bathroom if I want to. And legally, I have the right to do that. Recently, there was a Christian woman arrested and jailed because she wouldn't issue a marriage license to a gay couple. And so here's the question that I think we've got to ask ourselves, because we're starting to see some things that I gotta say it again. I didn't ever believe I would see these kind of things transpiring in the nation that I was born and raised in. Are you with me? But this is the question we got to ask. We got to look at ourselves and we got to ask this question. Are we ready? In fact, I think we have to personalize a little bit. Am I ready? J.D. Watson, are you ready? Because, folks, there's some things coming that I believe the Spirit of God has shared with us through the written word that we've just got to be ready for. And you say, well, yeah, I'm ready for Jesus to come back. I've been washed in the blood and my confidence rests in that finished work that Jesus did on the cross for me. His death, his resurrection. I believe that my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And may I just say this, that the Lamb's Book of Life is a little bit different than what we portrayed here the last few years in Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. A little bit different book. And so if you say, well, yeah, are you ready to go to heaven? If Jesus would come back right now, I'm going to say, yes, I am ready. But I'm just this morning speaking of just a little bit different kind of ready. You know, ready means that you are prepared for immediate action. That you are prepared for immediate use. That's what ready means. Are you ready mentally? Are you ready spiritually? Are you ready emotionally for what is coming? Because I believe there's something coming. So last week we talked a little bit about preparing the way for Jesus Christ, that we need to make the high places come down, make them low, and the low places come up. In other words, we need to make a smooth landing strip so that Jesus Christ can come. And we realized that John the Baptist was the guy that was commissioned to do that prior to Jesus coming on the stage in his ministry. John was the forerunner of Jesus, and he said, prepare ye the way in the wilderness. Amen. But today I want to talk a little bit more about John the Baptist. You see, the angel of the Lord told his dad a whole lot about John before John ever got here. And so that takes us to Luke chapter 1. And I want to skip all the way to one little verse in Luke chapter 1, verse number 17. This is all about John the Baptist. In verse 17, he says, he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. So they're saying that John is going to walk in the spirit and the power of the prophet Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That last little line there, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, is what I want to concentrate on this morning. John the Baptist's job was to prepare a people, make them ready for Jesus Christ to come on the scene. And so John was out there preaching, and he was teaching, and he was doing all that he possibly could so as to prepare the people that were there in his nation, prepare them for the coming of Jesus Christ. As I said, John's the forerunner of Jesus, and this is his job, to get people ready to receive the ministry that Jesus would soon be doing in their midst. In other words, preparing them to be mentally and emotionally and spiritually ready whenever Jesus came in his ministry and in the power of the Spirit of God, the people could benefit by it instead of being overwhelmed by it, destroyed by it. John's ministry was a baptism of repentance from sin. In other words, that baptism was to change the way that they thought, to change the way that they spoke, to change the way that they lived, to put away the sinful lives. He says, I'm baptizing you to repentance. I'm baptizing you in water unto repentance. But he says, hey, get ready, because there's somebody coming after me that's not going to baptize you in water, but he says he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. And so if John the Baptist is out there in the middle of the wilderness, man, he's got a crowd gathering, and remember, he's preparing them, he's going to ask the question. He goes, are you guys ready for Jesus to come on the scene and baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire? Are you ready? Are you ready? Man, folks, all of us in this room, at one time or another in our lives, we've readied ourselves for something. My wife has taken it upon herself to get ready for this new grandbaby that we're going to have. Man, we got babies going to be born in the church. There's one right after the other one. One last month. One we've got coming in February. We've got another one coming in March. We've got another coming in April. And we've got another one coming in May. Praise the Lord. Y'all going. I was talking about this in the line at Walmart the other day, and the lady behind me said, man, there's something in the water at your church. I said, I ain't drinking none of it. I got all I can handle. My wife is, every time I come home, she's got something pulled up on her iPad. She says, we need to order this. And I know what it is. It's something for the baby. We go anywhere, man. She's getting clothes, putting them in the basket. We're buying them for the baby. We're getting ready. All of us in our life at one time or another, we have readied ourselves for something. We've readied ourselves for a new job. We've readied ourselves for the new semester at school. We've readied ourselves. Amen? But I'm asking you the question this morning, because Jesus Christ is coming on the scene. And before he gets here, there's going to be some things take place in this big old blue dot that you and I live on called Earth. And you and I better be ready for it. John's ministry was to get people ready. To get them ready and get them prepared so that they could cooperate and participate with the ministry of Jesus as he walked in the Holy Spirit and power. And so this morning, I'm going to ask this question all the way through this message. Are you ready? And remember, I'm not speaking of ready for his return. This message is to a people that is ready and they're saved and they're prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ. Are you ready? I also have to ask myself this question. Why did Jesus give us the power of the Holy Spirit? Because that's his promise to the church. Are you with me? Why did He give us the power of the Holy Spirit? Why did He give us the power of the blood that He shed on the cross? Why did He give us the right and the authority to use His name? Why did He give us the gifts of the Spirit? Jesus said it was to make us the salt and light to this place we live in. We're supposed to walk in that power. We're supposed to live in that power. We're supposed to walk under the authority of the blood of Jesus Christ, the authority of His name. We are supposed to walk in the gifts of the Spirit so that you and I can perpetuate the kingdom of God. Move forward what God has placed in our hands. In the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit's ministry in us, we are supposed to do what it is He's called us to do. Build the kingdom. The point is this, while we've been here living, ready for His coming, we are supposed to occupy. And that doesn't mean that we just buy a little house somewhere and live in it. This is kind of different. We should be advancing the kingdom of God. Folks, we should be invading the darkness. Are y'all with me? I mean invading the darkness. Let me just kind of give you a frame of reference for invading the darkness. Have you ever been sound asleep in your bed? And you're not just sleeping, but you're sleeping. And all of a sudden, ah! See, some of you are sleeping right now, and I got you up. One time we were having a basketball game, I don't know what, it was some kind of meet, and I was asleep in the hotel room with a guy next to me, and I'm telling you, I was sound asleep. This guy was actually my best friend, and in the middle of the night, he woke up, or he didn't wake up, he was still asleep, and he was screaming to the top of his lungs. Scared me to death. In the middle of the darkness of that hotel room, man, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether or not I should jump up. I didn't know if I should stay laying down. I didn't know if he was being killed, somebody else was being killed. But I ought to tell you something, that scream invaded the darkness of that place. It moved in, and all of a sudden, just the electricity that shot through every fiber of my being lit up my eyeballs. Folks, you and I just can't, you know, and just put a finger every now into the darkness. We got to invade the darkness. We got to go into the darkness and say, listen, we're going to invade this place and we're going to light it up with the light of Jesus Christ. We got to undo what the devil has done. Are y'all with me? We've got to undo what the devil has done. All the lies that humanity is clinging on to now. And they're saying this about themselves. And they're saying this about the Bible. Saying this about Jesus. Saying this about Christianity. We've got to undo that. Just like this last few weeks ago, I was sharing with our congregation about how that so many businesses don't say Merry Christmas anymore. And we're all up in, oh, that business doesn't say it anymore. It's not their job to say it. It's our job. I haven't relinquished my right to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Mall of Georgia. I don't care whether they say it or not. It's our job. We've got to undo what the devil has done. You know what Jesus told His followers? He has a set of disciples running with Him. And you know what He did? He said, I want you guys, and He empowered them. This is in Matthew chapter 10, I believe. He empowered these disciples, and He says, you guys, go heal the sick. That's what He told them to do. Go heal the sick. Man, I got to tell you, you know the answer to the healthcare problems that are in the United States of America? Is the healing flow of Jesus Christ going through His church to the sick and the lame and the afflicted. We got to heal the sick. We got to push back the darkness. We got to undo the devil's work. We got to cast out demons. We got to deliver those who are bound and depressed and bound and oppressed. And this morning, I got to ask the question, are you ready? And you're going, man, Pastor, you've been saying that all morning. Ready for what? Let me just tell you something, folks. The church in these next few years is going to have to operate differently than we operate right now. There's something that is wafting through the church today, via the Holy Spirit of God. And there is a awakening, if you would, coming to the church of Jesus Christ. We're looking at things a little bit different than we've ever looked at them before. We're saying, listen, this Christianity thing isn't all about being comfortable and just sitting back on our haunches. But this Christian thing is about laying our lives down for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about becoming someone who is dead to ourself but alive to Jesus Christ. It's about believing Him to empower us and equip us so that we can do the work of the ministry. And this morning I got to say, are you ready? And you say, what for? Let me tell you what's fixing to happen. There is going to be a shaking that comes to this globe. You go, what are you talking about, a shaking? Now understand this. We're not the ones doing the shaking. God is doing the shaking. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, it says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what He will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Why are you reading that? Folks, I believe that we as believers are watchmen. I believe we're up at the top of the tower and we are faithfully watching as the Holy Spirit of God begins to move through these last day prophecies and begins to bring fulfillment to each and every one of them. You see, faithful people praying, they're the ones that give spiritual insight. They're the ones that give advanced warnings of what it is that's coming. So you're out there, man, Pastor, do you like to preach messages like this? Because I see no one smiling in this room. Nobody's sitting out there going, oh man, this is great. Folks, I got to tell you something. What I'm preaching right now is a tough pill to swallow. You say, well, a shaking's coming. Yeah, I'm telling you, there's a shaking coming. And it's not just going to shake those that don't believe. It's going to shake everything. The Bible says it's going to shake everything that can be shaken. The church of Jesus Christ is going to be shaken. You don't believe the Trinity Assembly of God is going to be shaken. You are living in a fantasy land. We're all going to be shaken. And I'll just tell you something. I don't like trials. I don't like hardships. I don't like tests. Some of you, I do. I love them all. I don't like difficulties. I don't like adversities. I don't like any of those things probably any more than any of you all do. But this morning, I need to tell the truth. I never thought we would live to see any of what is happening here in this nation. I really believe that we'd probably be in heaven by now. I've got to a point to where I sit back and whenever I really deeply contemplate what's happening in our nation, I'm not even sure if I recognize it anymore. We murder babies in the name of convenience and we call it pro-choice. That's what we call it. 60 million babies have been murdered by legalized abortion since the court ruled in favor of Roe versus Wade. 60 million babies. And we think it was an atrocity what happened in Europe whenever Hitler destroyed the Jewish nation. 6 million, 10 times that we have done. And we call it choice. And the sad fact of the matter is, over 30% of the Church of Jesus Christ believe abortion is okay. I grew up in a cop's home, and I'd be honest with you, what I see happening right now to law enforcement in this country is a crying shame. It's this open season on law enforcement. And please don't misunderstand me. There's some law enforcement officers out there that don't deserve to wear the badge. But I will tell you this, the vast majority of the men and women that protect us from those that are unlawfully breaking the law and coming against us, they are good men and women. But it's this open season on them. Now the ones that have sworn to protect and serve us, they're the ones that need protecting. The first photographs that came out of the White House after being banned for 40 years, you have to understand that. This administration to open up the White House where anybody could just go in and take pictures as they felt that they needed to. Are you with me? Used to, cameras were banned. Only professional photographers that were White House sanctioned could take pictures, but they stopped that. They said, no, if you have a camera, you can take pictures of whatever you want to. The very first photographs that came out of the White House after being banned for 40 years were pictures of gay activists giving the finger to a portrait of Ronald Reagan. Sounds good, doesn't it? Another photo of two lesbians kissing under the same portrait. That's the pictures that came out of the White House. And again, here's a Christian woman in jail for not issuing a marriage license to gay men. And this morning, I got to say this again. Are you ready? Are you ready? And you go, Pastor, you've been saying that. Ready for what? I'm just asking you, are ready? Because this is something that you with your whole mind cannot get around what I'm just fixing to say. But think about this for a minute. Are you ready for prayer to be outlawed in the good old United States of America? I mean, prayer to be outlawed. Well, if you're praying, you could actually be arrested for it. You go, this is the United States of America. We have an amendment in our Constitution that protects us. Let me just tell you something. That Constitution is not going to be worth the paper it's written on. Come on. You go, Pastor, it could never be. Well, I don't believe it was probably possible back in Daniel's day either, but it happened. They banned him from praying. And Daniel, he just said, forget it, I'm going to pray if I want to. And he ended up in the lion's den. You realize what that was? That was an execution sentence. Are you ready for prayer to be outlawed? Are you ready for ministry to be outlawed? That I mean the Church of Jesus Christ cannot go forth and minister. And you go, Pastor, that could never be. Prayer could never be outlawed. I want to tell you something. 100 years ago, there's no way that this nation could have ever believed that we could legally kill 60 million babies and just keep on going as a nation. Never in their wildest dreams could they have believed that the Supreme Court of the United States would have said it is legal to commit mass murder. You pastor, I ain't liking this message. Folks, there's been people up on the wall and they've been looking for a long time, and I believe that I'm one of those individuals that has to come in and say, listen, congregation, we have got to wake up. You say ministry could never be outlawed. Well, I don't know if Paul and Silas felt the same thing, but they were actually thrown in prison for delivering a woman from demon possession. I mean, I'm just asking this simple question. Are you ready for the Bible to be banned? The Bible to be outlawed? Pastor, it could just never happen. It could never happen. Folks, I'm just telling you, I never would have dreamed back in the 60s there would ever come a time where the United States of America would pass a law and the Supreme Court says, hey, this is legal. Let every homosexual out there wants to get married. It's fine. The institution of marriage that has existed for thousands and thousands of years between one man and one woman, that just goes out the door. Folks, I'm going to tell you the next legal step is you can marry your dog if you want to. And we're going to have to agree with that because we've done crossed a boundary that we can't come back from. And you go, it just could never happen, Pastor. The Bible being outlawed? No, it could never happen. The Bible is already legal in some parts of the world. The Bible is already illegal in some parts of the world. If you're caught with a Bible, literally, you could be executed for it. What about assembling ourselves together like we're doing right here this morning? Do you think that ever be outlawed in the United States of America? You think it'd ever be outlawed that the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ would get you thrown in jail? The preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ is already outlawed in many Middle East countries. He said he could never come to America. We have an amendment. We have a constitution. No. What about our freedom to worship be taken away? Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it to get tough for Christians? Because right now we pretty much go through our lives completely unscathed. And a lot of reasons why we do that is because we fail to stand up for what's right. We fail to vocalize what it is that God has put in us and we believe it. We just don't want to cause any ripples. I want to tell you something. As Christian men and women, we're going to have to cause some ripples. Because if we don't, people around us will never know the truth. So are you ready? Are you ready to face persecution? Are you ready to not be the popular one on the school campus? Are you ready for your coworkers to shun you because you stand and believe what it's written in that book? Are you ready? I told you about a shaking that's coming, and you go, well, what are you talking about? Well, I believe this is part of it. I believe the Church of Jesus Christ is going to experience persecution. I'm not sure if all these things are taking place, but I'll be very honest with you. I can't believe we're where we're at now. I've said this many times. Looking back at the Old Testament, there came a time where Sodom and Gomorrah got so evil, they were so full of wickedness that God had to pour out His judgment on. He judged those cities by destroying them. Sodom and Gomorrah were some bad places to live, folks. But I will tell you this. I'm not so sure but what God will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if He doesn't judge the United States of America. Because, folks, we got the same kind of behavior taking place in the United States, and it's prevalent. It's everywhere. I will tell you this, God is going to judge this nation. If you think we're going to get through this unscathed, you are sadly mistaken. You think that all the other places on the planet are going to get it and we're just going to live happily ever after? I'll tell you, it's not going to happen. And so this morning, I'm asking you again, are you ready for God's judgment on the sins of this nation? Are you ready for wars? Are you ready for occurrences of natural disasters of every kind? Earthquakes, floods, tsunamis, tornadoes, drought, famine, pestilence. Are you ready for volcanoes to take place? You go, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? These are the things that Jesus said are going to take place before He comes back. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 7 through 12, this is what Jesus says. For nation will rise against nation. You know what that means? There's going to be wars. And kingdom against kingdom. And there are going to be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all the nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Jesus has given us a glimpse into what's going to happen. There is going to be a judgment that befalls this nation. It's going to come to the world. You go, what are you talking about? I know this isn't one of those running and jumping and shouting messages. I know there's a lot of people who don't want to hear this. Some of you probably think, oh man, you're just paranoid. I know that there's a multitude of people out there, including many believers, that have the idea that everything could be fine, everything could be wonderful, everything is getting better and better, and the people that talk like this, you're just a fearmonger, Pastor. You're just trying to stir us up. You're just trying to get us all shook up. Fearmonger, 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 fearmonger. Well, that's hard to say a bunch of times at once. You just think I'm a fearmonger. You think that somebody like me just feeds off of people and takes pleasure in causing people fear. But that's not what I'm here for. My assignment is here that I have to warn you. I have to say, guys, are you ready for this? My mission is not to incite fear in anybody. But my mission is to say, are you ready? And if you're not ready, then you need to get ready. You need to be prepared. You need to be equipped. You need to be ready. And then what's coming, it won't scare you. I didn't check. But this is the craziest community we live in. I mean, seriously. All the weatherman has to say is, it's going to snow. And everybody runs to the grocery store. Milk and bread, milk and bread. Got to get milk and bread. I've never bought it before in my life, but it's going to snow. Milk and bread. You go to the store and all the aisle, milk is gone. All the bread's gone. I'm going, man, how about steak and shrimp? I'd rather eat steak and shrimp if it's snowing than milk and bread. See, this community has got the weirdest idea that that's the way you prepare for a storm.
If it snows 5 feet, I got 11 gallons of milk and 28 loaves of bread. I'm prepared.
Man, you got to be a little bit north of this community we live in. People that deal with snow every day, day in and day out in the winter. I want to tell you something. They don't buy milk and bread whenever it starts to snow. They buy salt and shovels and snow blowers. Come on. But we all have different ways to be prepared. I mean, down here, a hurricane starts to blow on shore, man. They're out batting down the windows. They're tying down the lawn chairs. Are you with me? We as Christians, we know the storm is coming. We know that this United States of America, they are turning their backs on Christianity in this nation. Jesus is becoming a name that nobody wants to speak anymore. It's coming. Persecution is coming. The judgment of God is coming upon this planet. And we've got to be ready. We've got to be equipped. Again, I want to read this. To prepare means to make ready in advance, to plan for, to take steps ahead of time, to make ready in case. There's a major shaking coming to the United States of America and to the world. In Hebrews 12, 26 and 27, it says, "Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain." So again, are you ready? And I'm not talking about stirring up food and becoming a prepper so that you can be on a reality TV show. Not talking about filling your basement up with meals ready to eat. Let me just tell you something. That goes counter to what the Word teaches. Listen to me, church. If you think that having all kinds of guns and ammo and food stored up all over the place, and it's counter to what Jesus teaches. It's counter. He said, "Seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all of these things will be supplied for you." It's not prepping I'm talking about. It's not storing up food. It's not filling up your basement. There's still people 16 years later got food in their basement from Y2K. Good luck eating those beans. Things are probably beyond ripe. I'm talking about being ready spiritually to have what it is that we need on the inside of us. To do some prepping on the inside of us. To go after the supernatural power of Almighty God and say, "Listen, man, I can stand because greater is He that is on the inside of me than he that's in this world. And Jesus is going to take me through this." And so this morning I got to ask again, are you ready? You go, "Man, Pastor, you have said that too many times." Are you ready for what? What else can there be? I mean, you've talked about a shaking. You've talked about persecution. You've talked about judgment. Are you ready? I'll just tell you right up front, man, I don't know if I'm ready or not. Those things come down on this planet. I tell you, I'm not sure if I'm ready, but I hear the Spirit of God calling to me, and He said, "Man, you better get ready because it's coming. It's coming just like a train that you hear on the outside of town. You can hear the engines rolling. It's coming." And those of us that are spiritually connected, we understand what the Spirit's saying to us. It's coming. I've got a cousin who was born totally blind. That kid was amazing. As I grew up and was around his life, he could hear a car driving down the road. He could tell you what that car was and what kind of engine it had in it. I'm serious. It was just uncanny, the ability he had to hear a certain sound and be able to identify that. Could tell you if a motorcycle went by. Man, that's this kind of motorcycle. I got this many CCs. And you go, "What? Is that magic or what?" See, there's people in the kingdom today that are hearing specific sounds. and they're in tune with the Spirit of God. You say, what do you mean hearing sounds? Folks, there is sounds that are being emitted from the heavenlies today. And he's saying, get ready. Get ready. So I ask you again, are you ready? And you go, Pastor, you've asked me that question. I'm tired of it. It's in here about another 10 times, so don't get tired yet. You ready for what? You've already said, man, there's a shaking coming. You've got to be ready spiritually. There's a judgment coming, and we got to be ready for that. There's all these things are coming. What else could be coming? I'll tell you something that's coming, and I believe this with every shred of who I am. I believe the greatest revival in history is coming to this planet Earth that we live on. And you go, man, what are you talking about? Folks, I believe this revival that I'm speaking of, I believe that it is going to embrace everything in full measure that's been poured out formally in revivals that have only had a limited measure. Are you following me? Because there's been great awakenings. Man, there's been revivals all over this planet, but they've only embraced it just in a limited measure. But I think today that whenever God pours this revival out upon this planet, that it is going to come in full measure. And you go, good grief, Pastor, you've been talking about the United States of America, how we can have the Bible banned, how the ministry could be illegal. How could this happen in a place that's so dark and so evil? Folks, it shouldn't be any surprise to anybody that's read the Word of God. Jesus told us that it was going to be this way, that it was going to be dark. He told us that there were going to be a lot of sin, a lot of darkness in the world. In fact, he told us that's going to be the backdrop to the greatest manifestation of his glory ever. He said, man, it's going to be a mess. I'll just share this with you just a little bit personally. My wife believes in cleaning the house whenever the house is clean. Seriously. There was a day where we used to buy Windex in a 55-gallon drum. Just joking, it was only 33 gallons, but I, you know, clean the house. And I look around and I'm going, it's clean. No, we're cleaning the house. It's a pigsty. She's an expert on pigsties because she says this is the filthiest pigsty we've ever had. I mean, if you think about it like this, why would Jesus send the greatest revival that humanity has ever seen to a place that really didn't need it? See, if the old world was all spiffy and cleaned up, everybody was walking the way they should walk, we wouldn't get to see too much of God's glory. See, because this world is so messed up. Come on. Because it's so messed up. That's going to be the background, the backdrop for the greatest revival this planet has ever seen. Do you want to know the answer to ISIS? It's not bombing them. It's Jesus. In Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3, it says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, listen to this, and the deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. It doesn't matter what happens in this world. It doesn't matter how dark this world gets, how evil or how wicked or how perverse the things get. The true church of Jesus Christ is going to rise to the top. The true church of Jesus is going to rise to the top. The glory of the Lord is going to shine. Come on. See, like just like Noah's Ark, you know, Noah shut his family in, and you know, that was the little boat that saved them. But, you know, the higher the flood waters got, the higher it lifted the ark. So this morning I will tell you there's nothing that we're going to be able to do about this world turning about face and moving towards darkness. But I will say this, that the church of Jesus Christ, there's coming a point in time where God pours out His Spirit upon all flesh, and the church is going to rise, and the glory of our God is going to shine through the church of Jesus Christ. It's going to shine. There is no way in the world that the church is going to leave like a whipped dog with its tail between its legs. The middle of the night, just kind of check out. Everybody go, well, where'd all those Christians go? I'm telling you that the glory of God is going to be upon His church. You know, Israel, man. You go back to whenever Moses delivered Israel out of the bondage of Egypt, you know. Man, they didn't leave, you know, just, you know, with a little knapsack over their shoulder, you know, just, okay, we're just going to get out. We're just going to leave. We're going to go. Come on, let's all go. Man, you know what they left like? They left singing and shouting. They left with the treasures of Egypt in their wagons, man. Are y'all with me? They left celebrating. And I'm telling you that that's the same way the church is going to leave. We're not going to leave saying, man, we were defeated, that the enemy overrun this globe. And man, I'm just glad to be out of there. When we leave, it's going to be in a blaze of glory. Woo! I'm sorry, I just had to do that. I mean, the church is going to leave blood washed and Holy Spirit filled. Holy Ghost anointed and empowered. The church of the living God has to get ready to stand up. And we're going to see the glory of the church. I mean, the glory of Jesus fill the church. We're going to see it. This morning, I got to ask it again because it's typed in here. Are you ready? Man, there's a lot more readies. I mean, amen's about being ready for that revival than there was about the persecution and about the judgment. You see, the book of Acts, this was a New Testament church in its infancy. Y'all realize that? They were just days old, weeks old, months old, years old. The book of Acts is the church in its infancy. The book of Acts was about the baby church. Let me just tell you what I'm believing. You know, Jesus came and He was a baby in a manger and He left and, you know, He was a crucified Lord. But the Bible says that He ain't coming back that way. He's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's coming back as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's not coming back as some little innocent baby in a manger. I'm telling you what, whenever He comes back, it is going to be grand. So I'm just telling you, man, that New Testament church all the way back in the book of Acts, that was the infancy. That was the baby church. Let me tell you what I believe we're going to see in this revival. We're going to see the full-grown church of Jesus Christ. The full-grown church of Jesus Christ walking in the glory, walking in the power of Almighty God. I mean, think about this just for a second. Just help me. There's no way that I can believe that God's going to let the last chapter of the church of Jesus Christ be any worse or any less, let me put it that way, than the first chapter. Are y'all with me? Man, we had a going, rocking, moving forward church back whenever Paul and Peter and John were in charge of it. But man, have we ever blown it? I'm just going to go get them. God, I'm going to go down there and get them. Take these poor people out of this mess. Come on. You guys blew it. Come on. Get on the bus. We would have went flying, but all you got's a bus now. No air conditioning. Pull the windows down. I mean, can you imagine that? God saying, man, I don't know what happened. The Bible tells us that the gates of hell will not prevail. And right now, the gates of hell, indeed, they're encroaching. But I believe this with all that is in me. He is greater than what's out there. Amen? The Bible tells us the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the former house. I'm just thinking maybe he saved the best for last. And so, you know, I'm here again. Man, I don't know why I typed it so many times in here, but I'm here again, and I'm asking you, are you ready for this? Are you ready for it? I mean, this morning, are you ready for the persecution? Because I promise you this, folks, it's coming. It's coming. Listen to me. And I really don't care where you stand on this. I don't care. Someone was arrested and thrown in jail because they refused to issue a marriage license to a homosexual couple. And you go, well, she should have. That's her job. Are you nuts? Are you listening to yourself? And you say, well, it could never happen in America. It did. I mean, our founding fathers had landed this little ship on the beach up in Plymouth. You understand, they walked off of this plane and they said, listen, we have religious freedom now. We'll worship God as we desire. They would roll over in their grave today if they'd seen what's happening on the same sacred ground that they said this nation belongs to God. One nation under God. Our founding fathers had wrote the Constitution and said, listen, this is the way it is. We are one nation under God. It's coming, church. It's coming whenever it's going to be unpopular to meet together on Sunday mornings in this little church we call Trinity Assembly. Are you ready for the persecution? Are you ready for the shaking? Are you ready for the glory? There is a shaking coming. But this morning, I'll be very frank with you. I don't want you to focus on the shaking. I just want you to be prepared for it. I want you to be prepared for it. The Bible says in the last days there's going to be a great falling away. Are you listening to me? A great falling away. And you say, well, I thought there was going to be a great revival. There is. But you have to understand what's taking place. Whenever Jesus came on the scene 2,000 years ago, you want to know what happened? The religious community did not see him for who he was. The sick and the infirmed and the lame and those that were in sin up to their eyeballs, they're the one that recognized him as the Messiah, the Savior of the universe. And so you say, well, there's a great falling away going to take place. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the religious people that live right now whenever we're alive. They're going to fall away from the church. And I want to tell you, there is going to be a great revival takes place, and this is going to be all the people out there right now that are atheists, that are agnostic, that are gays and lesbians. These are going to be people that are porn kings. These are going to be people that are doing all kinds of crazy things, but they're going to get saved. And so this morning I'm speaking to a church, and I'm saying, yeah, there's a shaking taking place, but I want you just to be prepared. I want you to be prepared. Because remember how it's going to play out. It's going to be first a shaking and then the glory. And I look around this room and I just want to tell you something. I don't want any of you to miss it. I don't want any of you not to be there whenever the glory falls. Okay, let me rephrase that. I don't want any of you to miss the glory falling on your own life. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this morning, I just want you to be prepared. I want you to be prepared for what's coming. And again, you know, I use the scripture that, you know, a watchman on the wall, where there's people that are looking out and they're seeing what it is that's coming down the road. And they're recognizing it as an intense shaking of God's hand upon this planet. And so, are you ready? I already told you I'm ready. I'm ready to go meet Jesus right now. Man, if my little ticker just stopped ticking, I went down. Don't try to revive me, please. Just let me go, man. I'm ready to meet Jesus Christ. There is a huge confidence in me that I have believed what this word said. It's not because I'm a good person, because that doesn't get you to heaven. It does not. You can be as good can be, and if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will miss the boat. I'm ready because I believed what this book said. It says if we confess and we believe, then He will save us. I've confessed that He is Lord. I've confessed that He died on the cross for my sins. And I've openly told Him that I have blown it many, many times in my life. And because of that, He has come into my life, and the Bible says that He just gave me a brand new chance. That everything that was old just passed away. Every former sin, it's gone. In fact, the Bible tells us that God doesn't even remember those sins anymore. He removes them completely from us. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west, and that's a long ways. Especially if you're driving to New Mexico, it's long. So, I've taken the first step of preparation. I've invited Jesus to come into my life. I've asked Him to save me. And past that, I've made a determination in my heart that I'm going to live for Him. See, the problem is there's a lot of folks that say, Jesus, come into my life and forgive me and make me right with You. And they have no intention whatsoever of living a life for Jesus Christ. They have no intention of really seriously putting their sin away because they enjoy their sin. They're into sin and they like it. And this morning, I got to tell you, the church is full of people today that's the way they're living. They got kind of one foot in and one foot out. And they say yes to Jesus on Sundays, but they go home and they don't care what Jesus says. Jesus says no premarital sex, no sex outside of marriage. They don't care. They just do it anyway. Jesus says you got to watch what you say. You got to watch what you think. You got to watch the way you treat your wife. You got to watch the way you treat your husband. Are y'all with me? It makes absolutely no difference. They just live like they want to. And I will tell you this. You're not prepared. You don't even have the first step taken. So persecution comes, you're going to be out of here 100 million miles an hour. I don't want anything to do with the church. It's getting hard to live there. They're arresting people for doing what we used to do. I'm out of there. This morning, I want to ask you this question. Are you ready to meet Jesus Christ? That's the first step. Are you ready? There's a shaking. There's a judgment coming. There's glory coming. But the first step is, are you ready to meet Him? So this morning, I don't know where you're at. I'd love if everybody in this room had just like a little meter on your head that said saved or unsaved. Let me just say something. There's nothing in the middle. Almost saved, barely saved, ain't there. It's just saved or unsaved. I'd love that because I could just look right at you and say, hey, you're not saved. I see it on your forehead. I could talk directly to you. I know whether or not you're lying. Whenever you go, oh, I'm saved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I know. You're not saved. It says, what are you? I can read, but I can't. I don't know the human heart. But I will tell you this. God knows you. He knows right where you're at. He knows how you've been living your life these last few weeks, months, years. He knows whether or not you've bowed your knee to His Lordship or whether or not you just do your own thing and live your own life. He knows. You say, well, Pastor, can you move on? You're spending a little bit more time than you should on this. Folks, I want to tell you something. The most important step you can take right now to preparing for what's going to come is that you give your life to Jesus Christ. It's the most important step. And I'm just going to tell you something. I'm not going to stand up here and lie to you. I'm going to tell you that becoming a Christian and living the Christian life is tough. It's not easy. All of your problems are not going to go away the first time you say Jesus is Lord and you accept Him into your life. It's not going to go away. I mean, the Bible tells us that we have to die. We have to die to our own wants. What we'd like to do with our own lives, it doesn't mean anything once you come to Jesus Christ because you are His possession. Any of you that ever walked in the military understand what I'm talking about. You're a GI, government issue. You belong to Uncle Sam. And you do what you're told or you get locked up. So this morning, it's the first step. I'd like for everybody in here just to close your eyes, bow your heads, just a really private moment. But I want to tell you this. If you raise your hand in a moment, and you are not willing to get out of your chair and walk to the front of this room and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior over your life, then please don't raise your hand. Just sit there. Just contemplate where you're at. But if you're not willing to just give it up and say, Lord, I'm not ashamed. I'm going to take this step because I need you. I'm tired of living the life that I've been living. I know it's a sham. I know I'm wrong. And I just want you. And so I'm willing to respond to a pastor's calling this morning. I'm going to step out of my seat. I'm going to come to the front. And I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ. I don't care what any in the seat think about me. I want Jesus. I don't care if they look at me wrong. I just want Jesus. Because I am not right with God. And I've got to get right with God before I leave this place. So I'm just asking very quickly. Is there anybody in this room who say, Pastor, I'm not ready to meet the Lord. If I died right now, I know I would not see His face. But I want to take the first step in preparing. I want to take the first step of getting my life in order because of these things to come. I want you, Jesus. I want to become yours. If that's you, and I'm speaking to you, and you've got guts, and you're getting dead serious honest with yourself, I'm going to ask you just to slip your hand up wherever you are. Just raise it very quickly. Very quickly. Thank you. Anyone else? Just say, Pastor, that's me. Very quickly. Come on, folks. Don't just sit there. If you're not right with God, this is your opportunity to get right. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Rick, I'm going to ask you to come to the front. In just a moment, those of you that raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to get out of your seats and just come up here with Pastor Rick. He's going to pray with you. He's going to talk with you. And he's going to lead you. Okay, church, this is for you. It's for everybody in this room that said, I'm ready to meet Jesus. I got all that taken care of, that first step. I'm going to tell you, church, there's a persecution coming. There's a shaking coming. There is a glory of God coming to this earth that we've never seen before in the measure and the amount that He's going to pour out on this planet. And this is my question. Are you ready? Are you ready to endure persecution? Are you ready to endure shaking? Are you ready to receive that glory? If you're not, I'm going to ask, after I pray this prayer, the moment that I say amen, I'm going to ask you to just begin to come and fill these altars up. And this is what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask you to find a place to kneel. There's pews here. Just find a place to kneel. If you say, Lord, I don't think I'm ready for this. I don't think I'm ready for the persecution. I don't think I'm ready for this shaking. I don't think I'm ready for this glory that's going to be poured out. But I want to be. See, you need to be at this altar just saying, God, what do I got to do? Do in me, Lord, whatever it takes so I can get ready. Because I want to be prepared. I want to be something that can be used in your hands during this persecution, during this shaking, during this glory. I want to be ready for it, Lord. I'm going to pray a quick prayer. And those of you that you feel like you need to come and prepare and get ready, have the Holy Spirit do a work in your life. That's what these altars are for in just a moment. Those of you that have raised your hand and said, I need Jesus Christ, Pastor Rick's already down here waiting, so you're all going to come at one time. And you're going to start coming the minute I say amen at the end of this prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, you've heard. You've heard our hearts, Lord God. And Father, you realize, Lord, that there's a lot of us that are just not ready, Lord God. If persecution came today, Father, we're not ready for it, Lord God. I'm scared, Lord God, that my knees would fold underneath it. But Father, in Jesus' name, this shaking is going to come, Lord God. And Father, there's a shaking that's going to shake everything loose that can be shaken. And Lord, I got to get my hands around the rock, oh God. I got to get my hands around the thing that doesn't move, that cannot be shaken, Lord God. And Father, there's going to be a time where there is a glory going to fall on this planet, Lord God. And we are going to be the vessels that you use for this glory to be poured out, Father God, to all humanity, Lord. And Lord, this morning, there's a lot of people in this room, just like myself, that we don't feel ready. But Father, I believe this. Your Spirit is speaking to us this morning, Lord, because it is your desire to make us ready. To make us a people who are ready for persecution, ready for a shaking, ready for the glory, Father. So Lord, this morning I pray you will hear our cries, and as we respond to this altar, Lord God, you will meet us in a dynamic way, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name.